It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Held in by Krug, fires, and this one sails off a leg to the far corner. The Blues on it with nine. Rimmed around to the near side. No icing here. The St. Louis Blues, for the first time in franchise history, 51 seasons, have won the Stanley Cup. Your final here in seven games of the Stanley Cup final. Blues 4, Bruins 1. They win the series 4-3, and they will hoist Lord Stanley in 2019.
All right, let's get into this. That's a tough one. Felger and Maz the day after here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, FM dial in Boston, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester, Maz and Murray alongside. Where do you want to start, Anthony?
Killer. I mean, again, you know, and look, we all saw the game. We know what it was. When you play that kind of team in that kind of series, you got to be as relentless as they are, and the Bruins weren't. And so if you were to ask me, did the better team win the series? Let me rephrase. The team that played better win the series? Yes. No question about it.
Did the deserving team win the series?
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. The Blues outplayed the Bruins in seven games. They outplayed the Bruins in seven games. I don't know any other way to say it. And they're, you know, we all have our frustrations from this series. At the top of my list is Marchand. I just don't get how you can't stay on the ice for 10 more seconds. What's
okay, so Maz is talking about, in case you just don't know, the Pietrangelo goal at the end of the first period where Marchand jumps off the ice with 8 seconds left in his own zone as the Blues are on a rush, and he leaves Pietrangelo open, who then scores a goal to make it 2-0.
I mean, and that, you know, at the time, I think we all went, uh-oh, 2-0, now what?
And you uh-oh?
Yeah.
The game was over.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, so on the one hand, you look at it, Murray, and you say, well, there's two periods to go. On the other hand, anyone who felt that way after one period was right. It was over because the Blues just shut it down and the Bruins couldn't get in there and they couldn't get great scoring opportunities until it was 4-0 when it didn't matter. And so now again, I'm frustrated with Marchand. Marchand to me is number one on my list. You know, other people have other guys number one on their list. But the bottom line is they missed a golden opportunity. It was laid out for them like it couldn't have possibly been laid out any better. Between, you know, with the whole thing, the road to the final, all of it. And they missed it.
Yeah, credit to the Blues. They were the better team in the series. But again, on paper, in terms of talent, the Bruins, I still believe, are the better team. But they were outplayed, outhit, and certainly too tight, especially at home. And they saved their absolute worst for last. I still can't believe the collective real no-show last night, really. I mean, they had some chances there in the first, but the overall tightness, the fact that for most stretches of that game, especially in that god-awful second period, they played like a collection of guys that had never played with each other before. That's what was so frustrating. And that's where I was concerned going into this thing that they had this at home last night. Because one goal, I felt like it was going to feel like 50. And the overall tightness and pressure that you felt in that building, and boy, was that real, I think was going to seep into their play, and I do think that that happened last night.
So the only thing I'm surprised at from, you know, just the commentary and the thoughts going into it is the number of people who are confident in the Bruins. You know, I don't mind, like, it's not wrong to pick the Bruins or think they were going to win. I mean, they're just predictions. They're like a-holes. We all have them. Yeah. We're all wrong. Like, you know, sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. Like, picking a team is, that's not, to me, particularly noteworthy. But the number of people who said, oh, they got this. The Blues are trash. They play the, you know, like, you hadn't been watching the last six games. I mean, over the six games, you know, this is not a one-off sort of thing. Over six games and 2 weeks of hockey, the St. Louis Blues had established themselves as a better five-on-five team. And typically, those are the teams that prevail in those games. Not every time. And it's not like the Blues were head and shoulders ahead of the Bruins five-on-five. They were a little better five-on-five that was clearly defined. And so you really shouldn't have been surprised by that result, because the Blues had proved themselves the Bruins' equal in this series. If we look at it on paper and play like a rotisserie series or your Xbox, whatever, with the player ratings, the Bruins should be better. I agree with you, talent for talent, but styles make fights, and the way that this thing went and the way the Blues were playing you, that was totally in the cards last night.
Yeah, I think from the beginning, people took the Blues way too lightly. From the very beginning. Now, again, as the series went along, maybe some people did sort of understand it better, Mike. Like, but to me, from the beginning, given what they were doing to teams on along the way, knocking guys out, knocking teams out, and you watched how absolutely freaking strong they are. Like, all of that. Is there a better checking team in the postseason this year?
Yo, I didn't see one.
I mean, so you call it heavy on the puck. You can call it physical. You can call it whatever you want. I'm talking about...
No, they are a great checking team.
Puck battles and getting back and all the checking part of the game.
Oh, they're a great checking team.
Tremendous.
I have a lot of respect for that team. I know you hate them. You think they're trash. I respect them.
I never
team.
Said trash. I do hate them, and I hope that they don't repeat. I hope they don't make the playoffs next year. But that said, I do respect them. They're real. They are the deserved champion. What their route was to get there, the teams that they played this series, no, they were for real. I didn't think Binnington was going to play the way he did last night, though.
Big, tough, resilient, clutch team. That's
no,
the Blues.
No question.
Sorry, they just are. They are. And I don't know. They had sort of established that before you got to last night, so it shouldn't have been that surprising. And not, you know, not that I could predict it. I mean, who can? Predictions are predictions. But I think there was just so many people who just sort of waved them off. And brush them off.
Foolish.
Well, and I also think what played into that was the goal differential in games 3 and 6.
Misleading.
Yeah. Oh, so misleading.
So, turning points. Turning points last night. You mentioned Marchand and him jumping off the ice on the Petrangelo goal. I dial it back sooner and earlier when the Bruins did control those first 10 minutes and they did have multiple chances to score on Binnington. And I think a lot of it was Binnington. He was great, but a lot of it was the Bruins just not finishing. Or pucks jumping off of sticks or over sticks. There was some bad puck luck there, too. But they had some clear chances to score. The best was Marchand. The best was Marchand. And that was on the power play, the only power play of the night. Bergeron set him up walking down the slot. And the side angle made it look like Binnington made this diving, insane save. If you watch it from behind Marchand had half the net to shoot for.
Had to go up and stick side, and he didn't.
But he didn't need to pick a corner. All he had to go was somewhere from the left side of the middle of the net as he was looking at it. And if you see this angle, they showed it from behind Binnington and then from behind Marchand. And if you see the behind Marchand angle, he had half the net. He did not have to pick a corner. He had to put it on the left side of the net, and he threw it right back into Binnington. And that absolutely, that had to be a goal there. And he tightened, choked. I don't know. Whatever it is, he missed it. And that should have been 1-0 Bruins right there. And that first goal, you know, with this series.
Huge.
Is everything. First goal's everything in this series.
That shot still almost went through. It almost went through that 7-hole.
And it still almost went through the chicken wing. But if Marchand, just watch it. Watch it if you can.
No, he had room there. He did.
Oh, my God.
Stick side above the pad.
Oh, half the net. Half the net. So that's a huge turning point. The Petrangelo goal at the end of the first period is
killer.
Just an absolute killer ball game. And then there was just one more later in the game that if you still had life, third period down 2-0, Nordstrom gets a rebound in front of Binnington all the time, all the space, kicks it to his stick,
has time to wait another extra second, lift the puck just a foot. All he's got to do is get the puck up a little bit, and he's got Binnington to make it a 2-1 game, and then, you know, you can watch the last 10 minutes and see what's going to happen. He can't get it up, sort of rushes it just a little bit. Binnington makes the save. A few minutes later, Tarasenko sets up Shen, 3-0, ball game. I think a bigger turning point, if you want to ask me turning point in the series, to me was categorically game four. I think this was the most, you know, certainly in hindsight, it was the turning point in the series and the key game in the series. Remember, game three, we walk in there, lower our pants, and take a dump on the city of St. Louis. Boston walks in and does the meat spin in St. Louis. You knock Binnington out of the game. You go up 2-1 in the series. You blow them out of the building. Now you've got that St. Louis team talking to themselves. Their goalie's been punctured and lifted from the game. The coach is going to ball games and crying about the refs. The city doesn't know what to do with itself. And the series is yours. And you then walk into game four with the chance to put a stranglehold on the thing. And Rask gives up the wraparound goal to O'Reilly inside the first minute. And that, to me, changed everything. And certainly in hindsight. That, to me, I mentioned that goal at the time. That was my least favorite Rask moment from the whole series. He wasn't quite ready to go to start that game. And he was a little off getting post to post. And he let O'Reilly beat him on a wraparound, which should not happen. And that set St. Louis on their way. That game was still 2-2 in the third, and then the Bruins made another bad line change, which gave up the ultimate game winner in the third period. But I look back and say game four, that was the key to the series.
See, to me, it was the beginning of game five. I go game five, because that's when Binnington became a real factor in the series. And I look at it this way. 2-2 going into Boston. You've got two of the last three at home, and I know home ice doesn't mean anything, but nonetheless, it's a 2-2 series. And you controlled the play in the first period, and Binnington showed up. And the fact of the matter is, in the final three games, their goalie played better than yours. Binnington outplayed Tuukka in two of the last three games. And so, and again, I'm not putting it on Tuukka, per se. I'm just saying that Binnington became a factor. I thought that that was a weakness of the Blues going into the series. And he won game five and game seven in Boston. And the reality is, when you really look at it, the Bruins could have or should have lost all four games at home. I mean, they were down 2-0 in the first one. Like, the Blues just were unfazed coming in here. Didn't bother them in the least. But to me, it was game five.
Did the Bruins choke?
Once they got behind last night, I think they started to squeeze it.
Choke.
Yeah.
Did they choke the series? Did they choke the cup?
Yeah. Considering that everything was set up for them?
Yes.
Yeah. They were up 2-1. Again, you go back to game four. How they ended up playing in game five? Yes, they choke. This is a choke. This is the second worst loss in Boston sports history behind Super Bowl 42.
I know it's a cop-out. I straddle that one. I say yes and no. They showed great balls in game six.
St. Louis was better over these 2 weeks.
So I think, again, the team that played better won the series. So, and I think the Bruins showed balls in game six. I don't think a choking team, quote-unquote, does that. But I also think that once they got behind last night, particularly after that second goal, they started to feel it. They started to feel it. And honestly, I thought Tuukka felt it a little at the beginning of the game.
I think they choked. Should have won this series. They should have been the better team over the 2 weeks. Then they weren't. And that's on them. That's on them. The choke. Here's the choke. Not that they lost necessarily. The choke is the first line has one even strength goal over seven games. That's a choke. I mean, they're better than that. It's one thing to play to your level and not be good enough. That's not a choke. That's a loss. So I could look at certainly a lot, you know, some parts of that roster and say, well, he didn't choke. He was just got beat by someone better. Or that first line, they choked.
I mean, there's no way around that.
One even strength goal in seven games?
Yeah, and even the even strength goal was kind of a garbage time goal.
It's a gag. That's a gag.
I don't ever want to hear the term perfection line ever again.
That's a gag. So if they had scored, call it whatever, six goals in seven games and carried at least part of their weight, then you say, okay, they got outplayed and beat down by a superior defensive team and it was a bad matchup for them and they got beat. They didn't choke. When you go essentially over, that's a choke.
Seven games.
That's an underachievement by that first line primarily. That's who I blame the most is the first line. You want to start with Marchand? I don't blame you. Last night, good God, he single-handedly... That should have been, at worst, a 1-1 game going into the first period break. 1-1. He should have scored on that power play shot, and he should have kept his little fanny on the ice with 10 seconds left. Let's jump off the ice in your own zone with 8 seconds left in the first period with them on the rush.
I mean, to me, that's
what,
the one.
Me?
No, they're unbelievable. Really unbelievable. And this is like, you know, and earlier in the series when we had had discussions about Pasternak and about Marchand, I always said the reason why Marchand irritates me more is because he does stupid stuff. And Pasternak makes, you know, careless turnovers and things like that. But Marchand does stuff that sometimes leaves you saying that was downright stupid. And last night was one of them.
Okay, Bruins fans, your reaction right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey,
it's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just want my name in the damn cup. That's what I want.
You know, it was so sweet to win, but it hurts to lose. I probably look back more on the loss and what I would do differently than the win. When you're that close and you watch another team celebrate and, you know, it should be you, it's a tough pill to swallow. That'll never leave you. It's going to haunt me.
Corrali wins the draw cleanly. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final is underway. Sundqvist gave it away. Out in front, Corrali shoots, blocked. Far point, Krug fires, blocked again. Corrali shoots, Binnington the save.
Edmondson had the first block, a big one that time.
It's free in the slot. Johansson a backhand, and a stop by Binnington. He dove out at him.
I thought he's been unbelievable since he came up here. It's a heck of a story.
Holmeister, slap shot, he scores! Ryan O'Reilly might have had a piece of it. Pietrangelo, he scores!
Here's Marchand. His man goes here. And what does Marchand do? He goes for the change. At least Pietrangelo absolutely wide open.
I thought that guy was by himself.
That goal may have cost them the Stanley Cup.
Here's Tarasenko centering to Shin. He scores! Stick handle off the wall. He centers. They shoot. They score! Zach Sanford, the St. Louis Blues, are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history.
It's a heartbreaker. They just took our dream, our lifetime dream from us.
It's devastation.
Yeah, it just hurts. You know, I know it's going to hurt for a while.
It's hard to describe the disappointment.
It's an empty feeling. Someone had to win, someone had to lose, and we came out on the wrong side of it. It's not the way you picture it. It's as simple as that. So.
Okay, we've got a lot to get to from this game, this series, this team. Jimmy Stewart's look back at Game 7. I promised your thoughts, so go ahead. Let's have them. Let's start with Matt in West Yarmouth. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Watching the end of Game 6, I thought this was the one year that Tuukka was actually going to stand on his head and have a miraculous Game 7, and it was just... just wasn't meant to be. I wanted to get your thoughts on, where to go from here. And, you know, this kind of being the last shot at the cup, what do you do with this roster? And David Krejci, can you please put up some points next season and And will he be there next season?
David Krejci, your highest paid player, 7 games, 2 points. 7 games, 2 assists for David Krejci in this series. If they bring back the exact same roster, how do you feel about that, Maz?
I don't love it. I mean, you know, to me, they got to make some tweaks. And so I never like bringing back the same team. You got to make some changes. Would I do anything massive, a major overhaul? No, I wouldn't. And, you know, they're building, they're going in the right direction. But I honestly, I'd break up that first line. I'd put some size up there and I'd find someone to play some size with Pastrnak and Krejci. Because I think going forward, they're going to have a problem with that.
You mean Pastrnak and Bergeron and Marchand?
Yeah, I'd break it up because I think that if you go up against a team with some big defensemen or big players, they're going to have problems. And I don't think that they can handle. This is two Stanley Cups in a row now that Marchand has not scored even strength.
So finals, right?
Right, right. Stanley Cup finals.
Stanley Cup finals. I would say it's two straight playoff years where their line, that line, got totally neutralized by a good big defensive core.
Absolutely.
With Hedman, Strawman, McDonough, that group shut them down just like the St. Louis defensive core did. And so I think there's something there.
Yeah, they need size there, Mike. So and Pastrnak's a finesse player, so I'd get him off of there. And, you know, this gets into DeBrusk, too, because now you spill into the second line, because I'd book Pastrnak with Krejci. But the bottom line is the first group, they got to have somebody on that line that can play physically.
Bruce in Connecticut, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, hey, guys. I don't follow hockey the same as I do the Patriots Sox, but I watched every game and your guys' post-game analysis. What I draw my focus from, though, is game two, but more specifically, the third period, and that beatdown in overtime. And I just think that it sketched the whole blueprint for the rest of the series, in my opinion.
Okay, so I'll stop you there. Maybe you had a chance to take a 2-0 lead there, but it's just hockey's not like basketball where you have to hold serve at home. It's just not that way. To me, you had him in game four. Going into game four, you had him. That's where you had him on the ropes. You knocked out Binnington, who to that point was a co-Conn Smythe favorite, the story of the league, and you knocked his ass out of the game for the first. I don't think anyone else had ever knocked him out of a game.
No, that's right. It was the first time he was pulled.
You walked in there and blew them out. And you had them questioning the officiating and, you know, trying to pull that rabbit out of the hat, which, you know, worked. But you had him. That's where you had him. And you weren't ready to start in game four. That to me was the turning point of the series.
Yeah, I told you, I go five. And the reason I go five is you got back here and you played well in the first period. And you had them on their heels. You could have had the lead. And you know what? Binnington stoned you. And so all of a sudden, he became a factor in the series. And to me, that's when it changed.
Tim in Nashua, hi.
Yeah, yesterday I called up and Tony called me stupid. But correct me if I'm wrong. Every move that coach made and his game plan towards the Bruins as far as defensively and offensively going in the zone and crashing the defenseman, Cassidy had no move to actually.
Let me stop you. You're saying Cassidy got outcoached by Berube. Let me ask you guys, do you think that Cassidy bears some responsibility here?
Sure, yeah. Some responsibility, yeah.
What would you change with him? Like, what would you say?
So, I told you, I didn't love the way the jumbling at the end of Game 5. That felt like a panic move to me a little bit. And beyond that, look, strategically, you know, putting Kuhlman in Game 6 worked. But I would say, you know, it felt to me like the Bruins couldn't find ways to get the puck close to the net.
And to me, I just felt like he played the hand he was dealt. Like, what? It's more on your top players. They're the ones that didn't produce. What else could Cassidy do? Okay. He was pushing all the right buttons.
So that's the second guess.
He could have gotten those guys less ice time.
Did he rely too much on that first line when they clearly weren't going?
Yeah.
When that first line clearly was overmatched by the Blues defensive core and they clearly weren't right, he kept giving him the minutes, kept giving the first shift on every single power play, give him too much time on the power play. That, to me, is a second guess, that he rode that first line too far, too hard. Meaning, you know, to me, David Pastrnak, to me, was a borderline basket case in this series. I don't want to say it was a complete basket case, but lowercase b, basket case. I mean, how many times did he swing and miss yesterday? How many times did he whiff on one-timers? Stumbling around out there, bad puck management. I think David Pastrnak was stumbles the clown in this series. -7 rating. -7 David Pastrnak was in this series. I mean, he's good for a minus one a night.
That had to be worst on the team, right?
Minus seven, worst in the series by far. Minus seven. Yet he's out there last night, for example, 1955, and Johansson, who I think was once again your best forward, was out there for 1730. And Charlie Coyle was out there for 1513.
Didn't Charlie Coyle play like 3.5 minutes in the first period?
Played three and change in the first period.
I mean, that's brutal.
So that to me is my second guess with Cassidy. I understand you go with who brought you there, but clearly, to me, with Pastrnak starting there and then Marchand and Bergeron, well, you're just going to keep throwing them out there with that first power play and letting them take. The big problem with these guys, too, is they take long shifts. That Marchand's
notorious for it.
At that end of the first period, his problem was he was on the ice for like 1:10 or something, and he was gassed.
He's notorious for it. And he stays out there.
He stays out there too long. And Cassidy, I guess, lets him do it. When you had other lines going and other guys, and that's my second guess, which is a hard second guess. You relied too much on Bergeron in that line, the best line in hockey. I mean, so like I can totally see his psychology.
Logic, sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with my best players. He wouldn't. You know, he's not the only coach that would do that. But that to me is my second guess. Get some other guys going. Even out that ice time when your first line, frankly, sucked. Here's Murray's update. And we're back with more.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Coach, just what are the emotions like right now?
I don't know. You know, it's an empty feeling. It's a long year. Someone had to win, someone had to lose, and we came out on the wrong side of it. It's not the way you picture it. It's as simple as that. So.
Bruce Cassidy last night after the game. I had the unfortunate responsibility of doing a post-game show after that one. Just knowing. And I've seen the ratings, so knowing and having it confirmed that all of you went like this. Yeah, I don't want to watch this anymore. I'm going to bed.
I mean, that's what I did.
I don't blame
you. It's my job.
I don't blame you.
I threw my remote after the third goal and went to bed.
I actually give myself a little credit because I watched a couple of guys on the Blues celebrate. A couple.
That's big of you.
That was big of me. I agree.
I don't know why you do that to yourself, Mass.
I mean, so like there were a couple of guys on that team that I think you should respect. More than a couple.
On the Blues, yeah, for sure.
Petrangelo, O'Reilly, Parayko. Those guys are pros. They're good players.
I'm happy for Lalo. The rest of them can eat a giant pile of crap. Everyone in St. Louis.
They can all eat it, as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you, Jimmy.
So that's why if I didn't have to work, I would have turned the TV off, for sure.
Thank you.
But I did do a post-game show, so I've seen a lot of this. Boy, were there some sad puppies on that Bruins side, crying, openly weeping on the ice in the locker room. Oh, this one hurt. I mean, I don't know if that makes you feel any better, but I know it can be very frustrating for fans when you think that you take it worse than the team. It means more to you than it does to the actual players.
Oh, no, these guys cared.
These guys really, I mean,
that's why they were so likable. Part of the reason, anyway.
They were freaking openly weeping, you know, grown-ass men. Listen to some of this. Chara was weeping. Chara number one, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's obviously not the result I want to have, for sure. It's hard to describe the disappointment. Yeah, it's just hard to find words right now.
I mean, 42-year-old grown-ass man with a championship already. Tears. Chara, three, please.
We battle hard. It's such a tough moment to kind of reflect right after. But this group battled really hard all year long. We overcome some adversity, some challenges. Very proud of this team. There is for sure a lot of character in this room, and sure there is a bright future for this team.
Okay. How about Marchand 3? This guy was in tears. Marchand 3, Jimmy.
It's a heartbreaker. It's tough to describe. They just took our dream, our lifetime dream from us, and you know, everything we've worked for our entire lives, and it's 60 minutes away from that. I can't describe it.
They took our lifelong dream from us. How about getting off? I'm sorry, just the opposite. How about staying on the ice with 7 seconds left and them on a rush in your own zone?
I mean, that one blew me away.
Did they take your dream from you, or did you tighten up in the biggest moment of your career? I don't know, of the season anyway. How about putting the puck in the net when the goalie's giving you half the freaking net?
See, but the part that frustrates me about Marchand, he did it earlier in the series too, Mike. He peeled off at Tarasenko.
Yes, absolutely.
Like he neglects his responsibilities in the defensive zone.
So what is that? Do you think that's...
It's either focus or, you know, thinking I'm not a D-man. What else could it be?
But he's not a bad defensive player. I think
he's overrated.
Pressure?
Something got to him.
Does he just take too long of shifts? And when he's got to go back and cover, I mean, this has been happening all playoffs, where he's exposed on his blue line. That's what happened on that whole sequence, because I think, was it Greslick who pitched? Someone pinched. So Marchand goes back to the blue line to cover him, and the next thing you know, he's on the blue line with the puck going the other way. It's usually a power play thing with him and basket case David Pastrnak dinking around with the puck back there, and one of them has to play D on a rush going the other way. This was an even strength situation, but it's the same thing. We've been seeing that all playoffs. Does he just stay on the ice too long and he's gassed by the time he's got to go back to
cover? That's probably at the root of it. I mean, and he's done that for a long time.
So all I'm telling you, though, is he cares. I think.
Oh,
I don't
he
know,
definitely cares.
Unless they're all faking it, but these guys were devastated after the game. Give me Marchand number one, Jimmy.
I love every guy on this team, and I'm very proud of everyone that worked their ass off all year to get to this point. And, you know, we're a hell of a group. We came together. You know, we're like a family, so it hurts. You know, but yeah, love this group.
Okay, Marchand number seven. Just give me one more Marchand.
Never get over this. I'm not over 13 yet. This hurts more than that. But it's not something you ever forget.
I'll agree with him on that one. This one was worse than 13.
Yep.
By a long shot.
Oh, no question.
You should have won this series. That one, I don't know. In hindsight, this one, different. Patrice Bergeron, he was in tears after the game, it felt like to me. Number three, Jimmy. Bergeron, three.
Really proud. I mean, we've given everything we had. The character we've shown all year to get to this point has been amazing. And, you know, how tight we are, or how much adversity we've battled through is amazing.
Okay, playing with a groin issue for most of the playoffs, it came out. I guess he told some people that last night. We'll find out more. Clearly, in some respects, I hope he was hurt. Otherwise, if it's age or
that's scary.
Something else, and that's freaking frightening.
Yeah, he had to be. I mean, again, he just wasn't moving the same way. He couldn't get any separation at all and had trouble fighting for pucks.
No excuse.
All of it.
No excuse. Ryan O'Reilly played the last two series with a broken rib. So they all got something. And they all battling through something. No excuse. The best player on the other team had a bad injury. He played through it. Did Bergeron? Tuukka Rask, not quite in tears. He's not quite that way. But anyway, his reaction after the game, Jimmy Rask, number one.
Yeah, well, it's a great season. You know, we battled hard, so we're proud of each one of us here. You know, 15 minutes after a Game 7 loss, I don't think anything is going to make us feel better. So it's going to sting a while, and life goes on.
Okay, life goes on. That's sort of his attitude.
I'll tell you what, though, in the immediate aftermath of the game, did you see that shot of him on the bench with his head hanging over a stick?
Yes.
I mean, he looked disconsolate.
I think some people, I was listening to Jones last night driving home. He was getting on him for it. Maybe some fans get on him for it. Life goes on. Jones said it was his Kyrie Irving moment. Like, now's not the time to be disappointed.
No.
There was a smugness to Kyrie's whole thing afterwards. I don't compare the two.
I think Jones was being unfair. Shocker. I mean, it was entertaining. I love listening to it, but I think that's... that's Rask in victory and defeat.
Like, yeah,
that's
always.
His whole He's always the same.
I'm telling you, and I'm a believer in the picture's worth a thousand words. Look at that shot of him on the bench. With his, he was covering his face. He didn't want anyone to see his face.
Someone who absolutely could almost not speak was Charlie McAvoy. McAvoy won.
Charlie, what's the emotion like when you get to within a game of what you've worked all season for and just to fall a little short?
It's devastation.
Okay. Number two.
Charlie, the first 17 minutes, you guys really came out strong. Did you feel the game shift there in the final three of the first period?
How long do you think something like this will take to get ready?
Wow, long time.
Guy's freaking crying. Half the team was in tears. So I just want to give you some post-game reaction. Cassie's asked, what do you say to a group who's like that coming off the ice? Cassie, number three, Jimmy.
There's nothing I can really say in this moment, I believe, to other than I was proud of them. They should walk out of here with their heads up. That's it. There's no long speech. There just isn't. I'll have an opportunity to catch up with the players in the next little while, but right now they don't want to hear anything from me.
Okay, so just want to give you some post-game reaction. There it is. Back to your reaction right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay. It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium-quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver. All the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Peace.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Bruins get it up top, but Marchand has to stay, and he's got to play D. Schwartz gets around him. Bar circle, walking in. It's backhanded. They score! Alex Pietrangelo walked in. Part of that was Marchand trying to get off the ice and getting the right personnel on.
Marchand was going to go off. Gets a little bump there on Schwartz, but Pietrangelo alertly following this play up, and after Schwartz does a little self-chip, he's going to get to the puck first, and he's going to beat Rask, and Marchand had a chance to stay there and stay with Pietrangelo. He decided to go off.
Why in the world would anybody want to change going in their end? Now, here he comes out. Watch. Going in. They stop, and they make a change. What the world is that?
And shorts.
You never, ever, ever. And they're shorthanded in there. Absolutely ridiculous. You never make a change when a team is going in. You're in.
He's in no man's land. He's standing still.
There he is.
Way too late. You gotta start heading back towards your net. You know you're standing still at the blue line. You're done. You're done. You have to just start retreat. Get back. Go back to the slot.
There was 7 seconds left in the period or something?
That goal may have cost them the Stanley Cup.
All right, so that was one of the key plays of the game from Don Cherry, Tony Amonte on NBC Sports Boston. After the game, may have cost him the cup. At 1-0, you can say, okay, you know, I still don't like their chances one down.
Right.
You know, the first goal is everything in this series. So they may have been done after the first goal. But the way that happened, you know, you're almost through the period. You're almost in the tunnel, 1-0. Okay, you live to fight another day. You controlled the play. It's just what you were going to have to score a goal anyway to win the game in the first place. So it's a whole different feeling giving it up 2-0 on that kind of play.
Because if it's just one, there's always the chance that a bum goes off, someone skates, someone misses a puck. There's a million things there. That second one was like, oh. I mean, you knew
that. And just
then.
The way that it happened,
and
too.
And
the
way that it happened.
With one, okay, it still felt like way more than one, and they were playing tight, but I still like their chances. One was, what, 7 seconds to play?
In their zone. You've got good zone time there. You're pressuring them. And once again, Marchand out on the blue line, just dinking around out there defensively. Gassed because his shift was too long, as usual. And that one is just an absolute killer.
I mean, you know, you do the stuff that he does. And again, look, if you talk to the hockey people, they say the thing with the shifts happens all the time. He just stays out there and stays out there. And, you know, he doesn't honor his assignments or any. You do that stuff over and over and over again. Eventually this happens. In a big spot, you're not where you're supposed to be, and you really screw the other 19 guys. You screw them.
Back to your reaction. Here's Mike in New Hampshire. Hi, Mike.
Guys, they made it to the seventh game of the Stanley Cups. I think it's typical Boston for everybody to kind of, you know, burn it down, trade everybody, blow it up type stuff. But they made it to the game to game seven. There were two big things I think that happened in that game when they first came out that first period. The game was theirs. I thought for sure that first period, all the shots they had on net, they had a lot of good chances. I thought that as soon as that first goal went in, how can you not get deflated immediately when that what was that, their second shot?
Yes.
It was a deflection that went in. That's deflating. I mean, it's tough. The Marchand thing, I can't comment on that. I don't know what happened there. But then the other play, was it in the third period, was it Nordstrom, the shot there that would have made it 2-1?
Yep.
I mean, those two things, because if he makes that goal there in the third period, that's a whole different game now. You've broken
No question. I'm just going to stop you before you give me the play-by-play. They had chances to finish, certainly in the first 10 minutes, and then the Nordstrom one in the third period. I mean, come on, man. Come on. Lift the freaking puck. He says it's just like Boston to trade everyone. I'm not trading anyone. Well, that's not true. I would trade Krejci. He's your highest paid player and diminishing returns, and that sort of playoff magic clearly has left him. You can't find him the proper wingers ever. So what are we doing? And if someone will take that salary off your books, I would trade Krejci. I'm not trading anyone else. I don't think. I don't know. I love Krug. I take that back. I like Krug a lot. I think he's a modern NHL player. He serves a purpose, but after this year, he's going to want big dollars because he puts up big offensive numbers. So he's going to be a $7, $8 million a year guy. I don't know if he'll be worth it. Do you get out ahead of that? I mean, we can play that game, but I'm not like, you know, I'm not saying, get rid of that guy, get rid of that guy. I'm not getting rid of any of them, with maybe the exception of Krejci. And if you got to do some forward thinking on the salary cap, then that's a bigger discussion.
Yeah, I don't bring back the whole team the way it is, though, and I try to tweak the roster and improve the areas that need improvements. Mike, they need a big forward on that first line.
I think that's fair.
They need a physical winger on, you know, a big physical winger on that first line.
After seeing what the last two playoff exits against the kind of teams with the kind of decors that shut them down, Tampa shut them down and St. Louis shut them down with big, good D, I think it's a fair thing. They need size up there. Ricky in Winchester. Yes, Ricky.
Hi, guys. I was in the building last night, and I was like, I can't believe this is happening. This absolute head case, Jordan Bennington, is going to steal the game from us. I mean, I know we shot it into his armpits a few times and stuff, but
But I was just shocked that this guy, this career AHL goalie, came in a game seven and did this in two.
Okay, I think you were complicit. I think you were complicit. Bergeron had half the net to shoot. Marchand had half the net on that power play chance. Half the freaking net. And he put it right into his crest. And Binnington still almost let it dribble in. Nordstrom, all he had to do was get the puck up 8 inches. Well, I don't know, however wide those goalie pads are, 16 inches. All he had to do was get it up, and he didn't do it. You had other chances in that first period as well, but just a little more finish. So you're a little tight. I don't know. You were complicit. Jake in Boston, do you blame Tuukka Rask for any of this?
I do. The reason why we're going to hear about Jordan Binnington until the end of time, not Dwayne Roloson, is that Tim Thomas made those saves in the Tampa game in the first period and in Vancouver. You want to talk about Marchand? There's no excuse for giving up a soft backhander to a defenseman. And on the first goal, you have to protect that five hole going down into the butterfly. Game five and game seven, Tuukka Rask, two mad goals that completely changed the momentum of the game in the first period. And you were buzzing in both of those games until that happened.
How much do you blame Tuukka Rask?
I mean, not a ton, but a little bit. Again, I didn't love that first goal last night. I know it was a deflection. I know all of that. It beat him five hole. And my point would be earlier in the playoffs, he's stopping that. The stick is there, or the hole is closed, or he was a little bit more dialed in earlier than he was now. Was he bad? Was he the reason you lost? No. I mean, if you weigh it all out, you had the best goalie in the postseason.
Yes. Yeah, you did.
He was number one in save percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But
he was at his worst at the worst possible time. And deep down in your core, were you that surprised by it?
Not 100%, no. I mean, when it happened, I went, oh, God. Like, this is going to happen. Here's the way I would tell you. This is how I looked at it. In games five and seven, the series was 2-2, and in two of the final three games, their goalie was better than yours. Binnington in those two games was 974 and 970 on the road. Those are money games. I mean, say I don't love Binnington. I still don't think he's all that good. But in those two games, he was huge.
I don't think Rask was the story or a factor, which is sort of part of the problem, right? That's my line with Rask. He won the story.
He needed to be better last night. He wasn't, but they didn't score.
He wasn't the story, and that's kind of the issue. Four goals on 20 shots.
Mm-hmm. Two on the first
two
four.
Two on four.
Oh,
can't have that.
That's a tough one for the Boohoo Tuukka crew. And I'm not blaming him. He just heard me. I don't think he was the issue last night. And he wasn't the issue of this series. He was, or these playoffs. He was great. It's terrific. Four goals on 20 shots.
Mm. Yeah, and again, in games five and seven, Binnington was better.
We continue with your thoughts. The fallout from the game seven loss last night to the Blues. Right after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Matt from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. With Clear Tide, you can say goodbye to heavy lifting, missed deliveries, bottle storage, and worrying about how much bacteria might be living in your bottled cooler, and say hello to purified, endless refreshment all for one flat monthly rate.
What are you waiting for? Visit BottleFreeBoston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's BottleFreeBoston.com, and make sure to tell Matt and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.